The following is a Scutch Media production.
It went somehow from reworked Mother Love Bone songs to the Stone Gossard tapes to this guy's not even acknowledged. Blows my mind. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 9 of the Pete Podcast. Pete and Marn here with you. It's been an exciting week in music.
Has been. Big week.
It's all I hear from you ladies. It's friggin' this Taylor Swift tortured poets thing.
It's big. Big
news.
I mean,
even the lady sportscasters, I saw, who was it? Aaron Andrews and Carissa Thompson were talking about if they could write songs for their, how many people in their life deserve a...
deserve tortured a poets department.
Like a capitalized, what is it, the word with the Kim?
Yeah.
I think Carissa Thompson said, I've got about 47 songs. It's 4.5 albums.
You can hide a name in there.
It's 4.5 albums, mm-hmm, Carissa Thompson.
You know I'm not a Swiftie.
Yeah, you are now.
She got me with this one.
Thanks, by the way. That's all I've been hearing. And you were a very negative.
I was.
You didn't like her at all.
No, I didn't.
Like, you didn't like her.
No.
And now, the power of the Swift. We're being honest.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't like her.
No, I didn't. I wasn't into her music. It just wasn't my jam.
That's fine. People are allowed opinions.
People are allowed to change their opinions.
And people are very much allowed to change.
That is something that's allowed. But she got me with this one. It's really, really good. And I saw this woman on TikTok talking about how she was making the argument that this album is Taylor's most Gen X-esque album, and I'm like, well, that's why it got me.
Why
that makes sense. Her lyrics are angry, a lot more angry.
Angst.
Very angsty, very, plus there's the whole Dead Poet Society references, of course, which
My Captain.
Oh, Captain, My Captain. There's a whole bunch of Dead Poet Society stuff in there. It feels very
Gen X.
Yeah, she's...
It's us.
She's getting in touch with her anger, so...
Anger is a great thing. Rage Against the Machine said it best, anger is a gift.
It's been great for music.
It has been wonderful for music. Speaking of, I dig the new JoJo Siwa song.
Well, if I'm a Swiftie now, you can. You're a fan of JoJo with the Bobo.
I'm not a JoJo with the Bobo fan, and I don't know. I've heard a lot of rumors around that song, like it was wrote for somebody. I think it was written for Miley, and she turned it down. And then a couple of other people have performed it. But whatever it is, the song is a jam. Whoever wrote it, that I guess it's Karma is the name of the song. I don't know, but the look. I thought Gene Simmons had just released that they're doing Kiss Jr. That's how it looked to me. I was like, this is not very original. You look like you're going to be in Kiss Jr. the musical.
The musical.
Kiss Jr. the musical. Gotta thunder and rock and roll. And rock and rock and roll. You can see it. Like,
you're into the jam,
the song,
not the look.
Is sick, the look. The girl can dance.
Well,
she can dance.
She's JoJo with the Bobo.
I know it's JoJo. She dances. I just be careful. Some of those neck, you're gonna pull your neck out.
That Abby Lee, man.
She did. She found some.
Taught her well.
Found some incredible dancers. And third on the list, Dark Matter.
Yeah.
From Pearl Jam came out. Now I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan.
Yeah. I mean, aren't we all?
I think they named the name of the album should have been Dark. What's the Matter? With this band. I gotta be honest, guys. I've had a theory for very, very long, and I truly believe this is it, because I don't hear my band anymore.
Yeah.
I just hear like a folk underproduced thing. I don't even know what it is anymore. It just seems like it's kind of become this Eddie Vedder and the Boys type thing. I don't see my band anymore. And you know what? For many years, I've had a theory.
Yeah.
And it's a theory that's out there. I'm not saying anything that is not on Wikipedia or in documentaries or anything else. But my theory is this, and I'm just going to say it. Pearl Jam deserves to give Andrew Wood a credit for writing 10 and half of verses. That's my opinion. If you look back on how this band has changed.
Yeah.
And you start to put together a couple of simple facts from some documentaries, from some articles, from some other stuff. That first album was written in about, if you put it together, about 6 to 8 months tops. I'm saying about 6 months. Plus you have a band that,
Let's back up a minute. So
who is Andrew Wood?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Those of you that don't know, Andrew Wood is the lead singer of Mother Love Bone. Mother Love Bone was a Seattle-based band. In my opinion, extremely influential for the grunge movement. It was a band that consisted of two of the members of Pearl Jam now, Stone Gosser and Jeff Ament, Mr. Andrew Wood on lead vocals, and a gentleman by the name of Greg Gilmore on drums, and Bruce Fairweather on lead guitar. Now, Andrew died in 1990 of a drug overdose.
Yeah.
The band was just getting to release their album, their LP, Shine, and he died. He was Chris Cornell's roommate. He was found dead in his bed. Not dead, but unresponsive in his bed by his girlfriend, Zanna LaFontaine. He was a prolific writer, Andrew. Chris Cornell states they lived together for about a year and a half, 2 years. I'm not sure the exact date. But they would actually have, you know, where Chris would say he could write 10 songs to my one or two. Right?
Yeah, he says something like that.
Something like that. I don't remember that. I think it's two.
Yeah.
Like 10 songs to
two. We'll put it in here.
We'll put it in here, the exact. And he even says, boy, he put down all these songs on tape, and he goes, it's really sad because someone taped over these songs that he wrote
and
just
they're gone.
Prolifically, and they're just gone forever.
I recorded him doing them, and I don't remember what the names of the songs were because somebody taped over those songs, and it was just like, it was worse. I didn't even care about my own songs. If someone taped over, I was like, shit, I can just do it again. But these, you know, they went away.
Yeah, he said he would drop diamonds. Like, I think that was like his exact quote.
Yeah, because
he said he would write just so many more than he would. He was prolific. Prolific was the exact word he used.
Yeah,
right.
Prolific, and that he just dropped these diamonds.
And he was absolutely free form. He didn't edit anything that he ever did. And sometimes I wondered, you know, he doesn't know the difference between what he does that's good and bad, or he doesn't care. Honestly, I don't think that he cared. But you know, he'd write 10 songs in the time that would take me to write two. He was so prolific that these diamonds would come out just so freely and all the time.
Now, Shine's only, I think, what, it's a lot, it's 15 songs? Because it's combined. It's two albums. It's Shine and Apple.
We can look that up.
Are combined. This is Mother Love Bone. Well, when he died in 1990,
March 19th.
Pearl Jam started playing their first shows that winter of 1990. You start to look at how does this band put together, one, find members, because they had to replace three guys, and two, write all these songs that are just incredible, hit after hit after hit after hit.
Well, a lot of hits.
What Wikipedia says is that a lot of the early Pearl Jam stuff was reworked songs of Mother Love Bone. That's odd. Because if you look at the writing on Apple, Shine, those two Mother Love Bone songs, or albums, the writing credits go to Andrew Wood, Stone Gosser, and Jeff Ament. Now, when you look at the early writings, or the credits on 10...
Shine only had four tracks, by the way.
Well, Shine was the EP.
Right.
And then
Apple was the LP.
I mixed those up, guys. Yep. Apple's the LP, Shine is the EP.
Yep, I just wanted to correct that.
Okay, dyslexia. We deal with it.
We just work with it.
We work around it.
I just wanted to correct that.
Yes, but how much did Apple had 15? I think it had a lot of songs on it.
I'm looking that up.
Guys, go out, get Apple, and Shine. I'm pretty sure. I think that's how they are. But just get Apple. The album's incredible. Just banger after banger after banger.
Apple had 13 plus a reissue bonus track, so 14.
Which is Chloe Dancer, Crown of Thorns, right?
No, Crown of Thorns is track 13. Lady Godiva Blues is the bonus.
Oh.
So in the reissue, there was a bonus track.
Back to our point. So you have those very common denominators. Two guys that wrote, three guys wrote this album, three guys wrote this album. Now this guy has passed away. Put it back in. Now you have just a new singer. In Stone Gossard's Wikipedia, it talks about the Stone Gossard tapes. It was just these tapes that he had of songs and ideas and stuff that he had reworked and worked upon that what a lot of the early Pearl Jam stuff became. And you can talk to you. You can go out there and find all types of articles of the band, the members of Pearl Jam. We're just along for the ride. Like Mike McCready says that, and they're just like, "Hey, man, we're just like."
Yeah, it's it's out there that it was Stone and Jeff who wrote 10.
My theory is this, and I'd love to dig into this more because there is a lot, but we don't have the time to get as ridiculous nitpicky as this can go.
Right now. Or have the...
My thought is this. Do we want to talk more? Because I would love to interview like Andrew's early bandmates before Mother Love Bone, which was his band Malfunction, spelled with a funk, like funkadelic in the middle. And Malfunction.
And Shun. S-A-G-U-N.
Yes. Malfunction. He was in the band with his brother, Kevin, and a drummer by the name of Reagan Hagar. They know, they can verify how he wrote. They can also verify how he was in practice. You can probably also verify how he would record ideas with other people and leave them. Just kind of, Andrew died abruptly. This wasn't like he had a sickness and they knew. Bands have practice studios. You kind of, it becomes a second home. My gut is that Andrew wrote a lot of songs at that practice studio and at home with Chris. He was a prolific writer. He was writing at all times.
Right.
He was also probably writing when he was, indulging, which would be a place that he wanted to get away from other people. And those people that know anything about bands, I've been in them my whole life, your practice studio is a place you can go to that is 24 hours just for you with other like-minded people in a bunch of rooms, and you can play as loud as you want. Sounds like a musician's heaven. It's also there where you could, my gut is, this was where he went to indulge in a lot of stuff because he could be away and by himself.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that a lot
Well, because at this point in time, he had already been to rehab once.
Oh, I think twice.
Or he had already been to rehab
He was trying very, very hard, which was why he lived with Chris, because Chris was one of the musicians
Chris
in
was
the
sober,
area.
Right, who was not doing drugs, right.
And some of Andrew's friends, let's just put this out there, Lane Staley, he was very, very close with. He was very close with another god of that era.
Kurt Cobain, right?
Kurt Cobain. He was probably trying to keep not a distance from them, but just, I can't be around you guys. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So he lived with Chris, who had kind of cleaned himself up, who I think was a drinker, but not so much
He wasn't doing drugs.
He said he wasn't doing drugs at all. In this documentary, watch it. It's pretty incredible. But he lived with, so at this point, in my opinion, he's pretty clear, right? And even Kevin says that some of the pressures of the band probably pushed him back into.
Yeah.
But I think early on, when he's writing prolifically, Andrew was around enough, touched enough, manipulated enough, wrote enough, that within 6 to 8 months of finding new band, there is enough bleed, in my opinion, that he deserves a writing credit on 10.
So, to be clear, you're not necessarily saying that anything nefarious happened.
No, I'm not necessarily saying anything nefarious.
Your whole theory and everything, what is behind this theory is that you think that he deserves a lot more credit and respect in pioneering the grunge movement in Seattle than he gets.
1,000%.
Right.
He gets, it's just like, it's a footnote.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, like, he was around enough of those places where Stone, Gossard, and him were in creative places.
Right.
That there was enough debris left around that you can sit there and tie that to those first two albums.
Right, like all of 10 and Verses. Because after, the other thing is, I'd say
90% of 10 and 50% of Verses.
So the other point here is that after Verses, starting with Vitalogy, they start to sound completely different.
Completely different.
Which happens with bands, to be fair.
It happens.
Right.
Look, we can get into Eddie's relationship with the band. We can get, like I said, early... How did this band, Mother Love Bone, come about? Like,
yeah.
It was always, and that's, guys, coming from a guy that was in bands, this shit is soap opera beyond soap opera. You want a reality TV show? Go and hang out in a band practice space. Like, with 60 other bands in little 10x10 rooms playing as loud as humanly possible. Like, it is truly reality television.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, it's close enough. The proximity is close enough. And he was, it wasn't like this man wasn't recognized as a genius.
Right.
He was.
Right.
So you cannot fucking tell me within 7 months that genius all of a sudden just went away. You know what I mean? Like, he influenced, like, if they were baking a cake, he put the flour in. I'm sorry. There might have been other pieces.
It wasn't just Stone and Jeff, is what you're saying.
Stone and Jeff did nothing. Yeah, they were in Green River. And then they were in Mother Love Bone.
Right.
Like, nothing, they had no spark until Andrew came into the room.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Can they luck out twice with two singers? Of course. People do it all the time. Van Halen.
Yeah.
AC/DC. You know, people who play singers, and it hits twice. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The writing, though, that quick and stuff put together, there's more to this story.
Yeah.
Stone, I don't believe all those tapes are just Stone Gossard. I believe it's you messing around with him. I believe you guys are talking. I believe you guys are writing together because I've been there and I've done it. The fact that all of a sudden they went from, it went somehow from reworked Mother Love Bone songs to the Stone Gossard tapes to this guy's not even acknowledged blows my mind.
Right.
And I want to talk to more people. I want to talk to Kevin.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Kevin Wood, his brother. He was in the band with him for many, many years. Kevin knew. I've seen interviews with Kevin that says insight into stuff. I was like, wow. I never looked at it that way. Pretty interesting. I want to talk to Zanny LaFonte. I want to talk to his girlfriend. If anybody knows where those tapes or what kind of happened or who recorded or how this guy lived, she did. You know, I'd love to talk to Greg Gilmore.
I just think it'd be fascinating to talk to her because she lived with him and Chris Cornell.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
Look, that's Marin's. Chris Cornell is. She's going to be like, did you ever see him get out of the shower? That's what Marin would say. Did he ever walk around just nothing on?
How did you look into those eyes?
Did he ever sing? Was he ever singing like Seasons, like on the couch in a towel? I'd be like. That was Martin's, yeah, enough said. I would love to talk, and I don't think they would, but I'd love to talk to Gilmore and Fairweather. I don't think they would. I'd love to talk to Reagan Hagar.
Yeah.
Reagan. Look, if you guys want more, let me know. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you about 10% of the evidence here. The point of the matter is very, very simple. There's a lot of bleed over. And if you're going to take a formula of, we wrote the music and the stuff, we're going to have it all together, and then you carry that to the next band where there's bleed over, there is three people that wrote that first album. There's probably three people involved in all of those reworked Mother Love Bone songs that became 10. There should be 4 credits on that album, period.
At least on those songs.
I don't know how you could say which ones were which. I'm sure there's pieces of stuff, but I get
there
that.
Are. If, I mean,
I would love to have a lawyer.
And we've done
on.
This.
Any entertainment lawyers out there? I would love to talk to you guys. Like, maybe I'm a schmuck, and maybe I'm missing something, or maybe I'm just like, yeah, man, it's really sad, but tough shit. Like, I don't know, but I don't. And even if it's at least people know it, it's enough for me. Right, because I mean, his family's like there. His brothers have moved on. His father passed away. His mom. I read an article that Stone Gossard and Jeff Ament bought her a new double wide trailer because she was living destitute in the middle of like Seattle. So thanks. That's very nice, guys.
That's generous.
Her son basically in my opinion, created your careers. But that's just me. But that's really going to be our take on today, because I heard that album and I figured it is now time to say, what the fuck?
What's the dark matter?
What's the dark matter with Pearl Jam? Period. Like, and that's my theory. I think after those first two albums, it's a whole other band. It's not Pearl Jam anymore. It's just not. there's a couple cool bangers in there. I'm not saying you can't, you know.
No, absolutely. And bands do change musical direction.
Bands do change music. I get that.
If you sit down and listen to Apple and then listen to 10.
Yeah, just do that.
Just do that.
I actually did it for a friend that is not a fan at all of kind of the bands. And I played it and he's like, oh, what is this, like a Pearl Jam cover band? Like a Pearl Jam knockoff band? I said, dude, this is 2 years before Pearl Jam ever even formed.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, listen to it. You know, and there's the argument out there, you're going, he might have changed. It might be some of the music, but it's not the words. I get it. But sure. That's basically how they set up writing credits on Apple.
Right.
It's these guys wrote the music, Andrew, but it was all kind of together. Andrew was a prolific instrumentalist as well. He played piano, he played guitar, he played bass and Malfunction in his first band. So it wasn't like he couldn't play. He played extremely well. And when he wrote these songs, 10 to 1 or 10 to 2 to Chris's, he played everything on them. It's sticky, guys. We're going to leave it. That's way too much for this first thing. But if you guys want us to dive in.
Yeah, we can make this a series.
We could do this. We probably got a 4 or 5 episodes. Okay. I'm telling you, just the stuff I've got.
It's worth digging into some more.
Come be on the show. Kevin, I've seen you out there before. You know, Xana, I have not.
Trying to track it down.
I think this might be interesting to dig into.
Everyone's out there. Everyone's out findable there. These days.
Let us know what you think. Comments below. Like, subscribe.
Does this theory hold any water?
Does this theory hold water? Let me know.
Cool.
I'm dying to know what you think. Peace out.